ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Health officials in the U.S. and Canada are telling people to stop eating romaine lettuce because of a new E. coli outbreak. It's already sickened 32 people in 11 states and 18 people in the Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec. Orders to U.S. factories for big-ticket manufactured goods fell by the largest amount in 15 months. The latest report on durable goods orders out today from the Commerce Department. The slowdown has raised the specter that a widening trade war between the U.S. and China may be causing U.S. companies to grow more cautious about committing resources or expanding and modernizing their operations. Stock indexes climbing in midday trading on Wall Street following 2 days of big losses. Major tech companies, including Apple and Microsoft, have been rising, recovering some of their recent losses. Foot Locker soared 15% after turning in solid quarterly results. This is SRN News.
Mostly sunny today, but cooler temperatures. Our high will be about 69 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 52. And for Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain. The high tomorrow, 67 degrees.
SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary on this Wednesday. What is this, Thanksgiving Eve? Is that what we call this?
I guess it is Thanksgiving Eve.
Well,
it
happy
is.
Thanksgiving, Doug. And yeah. Boy, you got some special guests in here today. What a treat this is.
I got my mom and my dad, 82, 85, married 63 years, in the studio for the very first time on SWAT Radio.
Well, and I just did a little interview with him because your dad's already informed us he's not getting on the radio with us. But I feel like I've already, you know, gotten to know him while you've gotten prepared over there.
Yeah. So, well, it's good to have him. Mom, stick your head up here and say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
So, got my mom on that.
We got to get James to, you know, just say hello.
What do you want me to say? Just hello say. Out there, everybody.
Yeah.
We've been listening to you all these months.
Yeah. So, they're here. They're here for Thanksgiving, and I'm so excited. And, Brad, you know, you've heard me share the story of my mom praying for a child. And even on the way here, she was just, we were talking about, she says, "You're a preacher." And I said, "I am a preacher." And she said, "Well, I've told the Lord you were his." And,
you don't know, get me tearing up already.
I know, isn't that cool?
It gives me chills just thinking about that. We were talking about the various, because I've had my dad sit right here. He's come here from Texas and sat with me, probably listening right now in Austin. And it's just a treat to see, be around your parents and the ones who have raised us. And it's pretty special.
It is
to be able to have that.
So, Mom, you can just roll a chair up. You don't have to stand up every time. But I just want you to. He's going to talk over there too. Me and Brad, we're going to do. So I just want you to say this Thanksgiving what you're thankful for. When you think about all the stuff you've been around 82 years. You've seen so much.
I already asked your dad. Did you marry her when she was like 6 or 7? I mean, you know, that's against the law.
Tell the story.
Maybe not in Mississippi, but it is here.
So tell how didn't mom y'all had this long extended romance, didn't you?
Yeah, very long.
How long did it
short.
Last?
Short.
Yeah, how long was it? Like
about 28 days, I guess.
Right? Yes, my dad was in the Philippines. Well, tell him, Dad, how did it happen? You were in the Philippines, and
well, I started writing, and she started writing me back, and we went from there.
And when you came back from the Philippines as an Air Force sergeant, right? You were a sergeant in the Air Force, and military police in the Air Force, and you came back, and this cute little thing was waiting at the bus stop.
Waiting at the bus station.
And Mom, what possessed you to go to the bus stop for this guy? You didn't really even know him, did you?
Yeah, because I've been writing to him for a year.
Well, why did you write him? You did. How? What made you attracted to him?
I liked him. He came to my house to get a chicken with his sister one day, and I didn't see him anymore till he got out of the service. But I wrote him.
He wrote to me,
and then I started writing back. And every week, I'd send him a letter.
So she was kind of like a Facebook stalker before Facebook, right? I mean, she was writing him every day. He's over there in the military. And
we were talking about that before we came on the air. Just, you know, we've lost that in our generation, our culture, this idea of writing. Mm-hmm. Because it's so much easier and more convenient to post it on social media or send an email. But there's nothing like a handwritten note. So how often did you write? Did you do it once a week?
Three or four times a week.
Three or four times a week?
Wow.
I have nothing else to do.
I have 100 letters.
Yeah, so she, your mother, Aileen, was telling me that she's got over 100 letters in a cedar trunk somewhere.
Those are special letters. Now, she better not get rid of them. She said she's going to get rid of them last night. I said, you better not.
Listen, I'll take them. You know, there's a book in there. You know, you really think about it.
You know what? I could take and make cards out of those things. I could have a card, a friend card business, or a send your lover a card business.
But to me, I mean, just get sentimental. What was written in those letters is priceless. Mm-hmm. I mean, to think about not only Doug, you and Lori, but you know, your kids, your grandkids. Can you imagine your grandkids reading those letters? That'd be really special.
Well, I'm hoping they'll let us read them one day.
That's the way we got to learn more about each other, through our correspondence.
Just how you wrote.
Well, can I say one thing about this fellow Doug?
Yep.
Back when he was about 7 years old, maybe eight, we was at church, and he walked down there and tells the preacher after service he wants to be a preacher. Now, do you remember that, Doug?
I do. Was that Brother Hoven?
That's right.
Yeah, the seven or eight. But you know what, Brad? I think I've shared on this. I was singing in church when I was five. Wasn't I 5 years old?
Is that right?
I was singing solos in church when I was five. And,
well, he can still sing. Every once in a while, he'll start singing.
I'll try to do a little Peter Cetera every now and then.
Yeah.
But, well, I am just grateful for Mom and Dad being here. This is only, I think, your third time to come to Florida, right? Yeah, since we've been here? You've been here. Well, you came when we used to live here a long time ago. But since we moved back, I think this is like your third time. And it's a long trip for him, you know. And my dad is, what was it, a year and a half ago you had a stroke and a heart attack?
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, had a stroke and a heart attack.
About the same time my dad did.
Yeah, it's just a stroke. And your dad had
about the same time, about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so I'm just very grateful that God gave us more time. My grandkids get to experience him, and he got to hold his great-grandchild. That's just a neat experience. And we're very grateful for them and all that they've added. And do you remember, you know, he said something about me. Do you remember getting us up at 6:30 in the morning to read the Bible? And then after Bible reading, we'd watch the Three Stooges.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You remember that? He used to get us up in the morning, and he'd just read the Bible to us, man.
I love it. Well, so let me just say this, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of a lot of other men who are involved with SWAT. We're thankful for what you invested into Doug, and I think Doug would say the same. You know, you think about as parents, the role and the responsibility God has given us to pastor, protect, you know, to speak truth into our children. You know, it's kind of neat to see multi-generational faithfulness into your grandkids and hopefully your great-grandkids.
Well, and I didn't make it easy on them either. I gave them a lot of fits, I think, over the years.
I have no doubt about that, Doug.
My mom and dad both had to tear down a few limbs from the tree to kind of get my attention sometimes. but it paid off,
I think. Spare the tree limb.
Yeah, that's what it was.
One thing. David and I, that's like his younger brother.
Uh-huh.
We were... He was about five or six. He got him a bag and packed his clothes. He was leaving, and we had to go down a little hill and up one, and David and I was at the door, and we just kept our eyes on him to see how far he was going to get.
I got mad.
And you packed your bag.
I packed my bags, and I lasted about, an hour? And then I came back. I didn't last very long.
Now, are you the oldest?
I was.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, your mother was telling me she's the baby of 10. Is that right?
I have a brother younger.
Younger, yeah, but okay. you are the ninth of 10.
So there were 11.
She was the ninth of 10 or 11?
10.
There was ninth of 10. And, Dad, what were you?
12.
You were 12 in your family, and you were number 10, I think. I think you have two younger, Gerald and
three young.
Rita's younger than you and Gerald. And so you're in the ninth of 12. Ninth of 12 and ninth of 10.
Amazing.
They both were ninth children.
And y'all grew up in the same town?
Yeah.
And your dad served 35 years or something at the fire department?
He was.
Meridian, Mississippi.
He was an MP in the Air Force. And then he was real excited about me getting in the Marine Corps, I can tell you.
I was going to say, what happened there? I mean, what happened there?
It wouldn't have done it.
Still in rebellion is what it was, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But the Marine Corps was good for me. Anyway.
Well, you were talking about, Doug, you kind of opened up with kind of what you're thankful for. And, I mean, this is a treat just to get to meet you guys and spend this time with y'all. So thank y'all for coming to Florida.
Well,
thankful for
Well, I just wanted him to come up and meet you and come to the program and be a part of it. You know, SWAT, we've been going, Brad, we're going into almost the end of our second year.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I want to thank Caduceus Consulting, Ace Door and Window, Evolve Bank and Trust, Mitel, and Tom Neal Trucking for being sponsors. They've been so gracious. And the people at, 91.7 The Truth, just for working with us, it's been a great 2 years for us.
Not bad for a couple of amateurs.
We've really enjoyed it, and it's Thanksgiving, and you know, I do want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving before we finish up the whole marriage thing, because I think we live in a time where we have a lot of people that take for granted stuff. We're not as grateful, and really, I think that's a spiritual issue for
it
us.
Is.
That we should look around. We live in the greatest country, really, opportunity-wise, that's probably ever been around. I mean, the opportunity for anybody and everybody just to pop in here to be able to make a living, to make a fortune, to be blessed the way they are. It is one of the greatest countries in the history of the world. No country has had the kind of impact all over the world that this country has. And I think for a lot of people growing up, they don't know. You know, my parents both grew up in the Depression, and we've had lots of discussions about what their Christmases were like. I mean, they were lucky to get an orange and a pencil for Christmas. That was the extent of their Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so we have children that grow up, they have a computer in their hand. You know, they walk around with a computer in their hand. Now, you think about that, where we've come just in the last 70 years as a country and all the things we're able to do. There is so much to be thankful for. And so I know some of our listeners today might be listening and things pop into your mind. If you want to call in and just say something you're thankful for, we would love for you to call in at any time, because today's the last day really before Thanksgiving, and starting tomorrow and through next week, we're going to do a best of, and it's all related to family and some of the conversations we had with people over family and marriage. And so if you want to call in today, 904-401-1413, you can call in and say what you're thankful for. But I just want to say in front of my mom and dad how much I'm thankful for y'all. For the way that you brought the Lord to me, you protected me. You got up in the morning, Dad. You read the Bible to me, Mom. And y'all always said this was important and Jesus was important. And I'm just forever grateful for that. So,
well, it's pretty special to have them up here,
you
know, to get to do this. And, boy, I mean, we have so much to be thankful for, Doug. I'm going to real quick, before we go on this break, I want to read to you Psalm 100, first five verses. This was my time in the Lord, in the Word today. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So anyway, just was reading that today, thought that'd make it encouragement.
That's awesome.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Great choice. Like great choice of music there, Doug. Yeah.
Mr. Grinch.
As we go out reading Psalm 100, well, we come back with the Grinch.
Here's the thing about the Grinch. You know, when you see that on TV, what do you think about? You think about Christmas, right? You think about, you think about Christmas and the Grinch. It really is a good story because, in the movie The Grinch, where Jim Carrey plays the Grinch, most people think he hates Christmas, but you know what he really doesn't like? He really doesn't like being lonely. He doesn't like being lonely, and his bitterness is really because he's neglected. Hmm. And he actually ends up in the end of that movie carving the roast beef and having Christmas with the Who's in Whoville. Hmm. And it's a great ending because this little girl named Cindy ends up befriending
Cindy Lou,
him.
Right?
Yeah. And so, you know, we talked about how hurt people the other day. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people are grinchy, or they tend to be bitter or mean when they feel lonely or neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, Scrooge was that way.
Well, he was. And especially this time of year at Thanksgiving, the holidays. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I heard somebody talking the other day about how awkward Thanksgiving is for family. Because of politics, you get together with everybody that you don't see at other parts of the year, and your family members may be of a different political persuasion than you. They may have a different value system than you. And you come together, and you're supposed to all be happy and thankful, and yet you look at them, and we've been so divided over partisan lines and over socioeconomic lines and everything today that we forget that, you know, Thanksgiving is really a reminder that we're supposed to be, first of all, thankful to God.
Well, we were talking about this a little yesterday. It's really a matter of what your focus is. You know, if your focus is on the differences between you and somebody else, it's naturally going to be a source of contention and a source of division. Mm. As opposed to, I mean, you kind of let off the broadcast even talking about, you know, what are you thankful for? You know, we tend to, we're very entitled if we don't have everything exactly the way we want it.
Mm-hmm.
We grumble and we complain. And I know we were looking at that scripture yesterday, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, he says, give thanks mm-hmm. in all circumstances. And then he adds, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus mm-hmm. for you. And the word give thanks there is the word eucharistite, mm-hmm. which we get Eucharist from, which it literally is translated, each and everyone is commanded continually to give gratitude without ceasing. Now think about that. Each and everyone in every circumstance, in all circumstances, is a word which means in each and every place and time. So wherever you are, whatever you do. Now, we're human and we blow it. We get irritated when people cut us off in traffic. We get irritated when our spouses let us down. We get irritated when our kids disobey us. We get irritated at our jobs. So what do you do, Brad, when that happens and you realize it? When somebody goes, why are you so angry? Hmm. What happened to you today? Hmm. Our initial tendency is to go, I don't have a problem. You're the problem. In a relationship, oh, absolutely, that becomes it. But what we should do is step back. If we know somebody loves the Lord and they're asking us that, we should probably step back and go, wow, I'm just having a hard day. I'm sorry. And regroup.
Mm-hmm.
Regroup. I was out on the golf course today. And
oh, you were?
I played nine holes with my brother. I had the
I got to give Doug a hard time, you know, about playing golf.
I had the absolute worst golf game I've played in probably 5 years.
I mean, come on, Doug.
I couldn't hit a tree with my club.
It was because you were out there with your brother.
Well, I was out there
trying to impress him or something.
I was so frustrated that I actually took the golf club and banged it down on the ground. I haven't done that in a long time. And David goes, do you think you might want to just stop and say a prayer? And I said, no, I don't want to pray. I want to hit the golf ball right. But I was irritated over a golf game, which means nothing. And we allow these little bitty things to come into our life. And for us at the time, they seem big. Why? Because I wanted to do good. We were playing with him. There was another guy that was out there with us. And so we want to do good. But, you know, just him saying that to me stopped me. And I had to think, you know what? This is really not that big a deal. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful I'm with my brother.
You're outside.
I'm outside on this beautiful day. I've got my brother here. I'm spending time with him. And I remember something somebody said a long time ago, a bad day on the golf course is better than a good day in the office, you know, because you're out there relaxing with somebody. And so Paul says, in all circumstances, give thanks. It's the will of God.
Yeah.
So that means if you don't, you're being disobedient.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just think that, you know, we need to remember that and hold each other accountable.
Well, you know, there's a scripture about consider it pure joy when your ball lands in a sand trap.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance so you can play the backside better.
Well, you know, one reason, Brad, that we give thanks even when things aren't good is it kind of reinforces our status as a creature rather than the creator.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and basically it means, why do we give thanks, Lord? What do you learn from the lessons? What do you learn from when you go and you mishit a shot, Brad? What do you learn? You learn, okay, if you mishit it and it goes to the right, you did something that caused that, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you get too much dirt, something caused that instead of hitting the ball clearly. Maybe you raise your head, whatever it is. You learn lessons in failures in life. When pain comes into your life, you learn to be dependent upon God as you go through it.
That's right.
And so there's so much that we can give thanks for. I just think sometimes we don't want to give thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because we're, like I said, we have an entitled mentality. Is that I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
You know, I can think of many times where a business deal didn't work out quite like I thought it should have worked out. And I grumbled and I complained as opposed to giving thanks that it didn't work out, because I was fortunate enough almost every time to get a little bit further down the road and see that God had something different than what I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, scripture says his ways are not our ways. Our ways are not his ways.
Hmm. Well, another reason that we should always give thanks is that gratitude is always the perfect medicine for pride.
That's right.
It's hard to be prideful when you're giving thanks, especially when things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for something. Last night, or a couple of nights ago with Rachel, I just sat down. She was having a tough night. And I just said, Rachel, let's do some ABCs. I want you to think of something that you could be thankful for that starts with an A.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go through. Have you ever gone through an exercise
Well, I think
like
I've
that?
Told you that's the way I taught my girls and my kid, my boys, to pray. You know, they would say, Dad, I can't pray for more than, you know, 30 seconds. I'm like, yeah. You know, here's the exercise. So we just used the alphabet, and we started with A. Now, we used it in the form of adoration. So if our job is to praise God, is to worship God, it's like when you praise your kids. What do you tell? You're beautiful. You are such a gorgeous, sweet girl. Think of those are, you know, you're using words to adore them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we think of adoration, we just start with A. You know, what are words to describe God? You know, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator and sustainer of life. He's the deliverer. He's eternally faithful. I mean, just go through the alphabet, and that's mm-hmm. kind of what we did.
No, that's good. Well, that's I just did that with her over things to be thankful for.
Exactly.
It's just to get your brain thinking of things to be grateful for.
Well, you and I have talked a lot about this idea of getting the focus off of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And getting it on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk, even in the church today, we talk more about man than we do about God.
Yeah,
I always say, if I'm going to disciple a guy, I want the first things to talk about are the attributes of God. Now, think about that and just go through the alphabet. You know, talk about things you'll be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, Dad, I want to ask you a question. You know, you have been around for 85 years. And you've seen a lot in the church, and you've traveled around a lot. What do you see going on with the church from your perspective today? What's your take on what's happened to the American church? Because we're not as really culturally relevant. We're not having a huge impact in our culture. We're more influenced by the culture today. What do you think's going on?
Well, it's because the pastor of the church don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. They want to make them feel good so they'll come back next Sunday.
Mm. So they water down the gospel and water down the truth, you think?
That's the truth.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Mom, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts on that? Because you've been around a long time. You've 82 years, man. You've been going to church for about 55 to 60 of that, right? I mean, you've been in church a while. Do you have any thoughts on why we're not as culturally relevant anymore in the church to what's going on?
No, there's one thing I think is too many of those cell phones, and I see people calling them and doing something while the preacher's trying to preach, and they're not getting the message.
You think they're distracted then. That's what you're saying. Well, so
well,
that's
I'd agree with
a
that.
Thing, yeah.
I would totally agree with that. And to what your dad, James, said, I completely agree. I believe we have basically discounted the power of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Doug and I talk about this a lot. I was fortunate to be discipled by my brother-in-law, who just put such a high value on the word of God. It wasn't my brother-in-law who was going to change me. It was the power of God that was going to change me. And we think, as I think many preachers today in the church, and I agree with your dad, Doug, is we want to water it down, or we want to make it palatable. You know, I think, is it 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy where it talks about we have itching ears.
No, that's 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Yeah, mm-hmm. chapter 4. We have itching ears. We want you to tickle our ears. Tell me what I want to hear. When in reality, if we give people what they want to hear, they're never going to realize their need for a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If we don't preach sin, why do I need a Savior if I don't know I'm in sin?
Mm. So. Yeah. It's you got something, Mom? Oh, you just telling me
she's just keeping you in line.
She's just keeping me in line. Yeah, I got you. Well, listen, we're going to finish up when we come back off the news break. We're going to go back to this passage on Matthew 19 just to kind of close up this thing on marriage. God's view of marriage, we said, is marriage is to be sacred and permanent. And we listed four things in this passage that God's original design was one man, one woman. God commanded man in marriage to stick like glue to his wife in relational loyalty. God decreed that man and woman after marriage become one flesh, and it was his divine work that brought them together. And what he brings together, he says, don't let man separate. So after the break, Brad, we'll be back.
We've been good at separating, right?
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to join us, we'd love to hear from you at 904-401-1413. If you have a question for us, you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. With 32 people sick in 11 states, the FDA is telling Americans to stop eating romaine lettuce because of new E. coli outbreak. Produce buyer Gina DiDarno buys in bulk for the grocery stores in Alameda, California, and hates to see hundreds of pounds being tossed into the rubbish heap.
We're just throwing it away. It's so wasteful.
Meanwhile, food safety officials are again reminding people that an enjoyable Thanksgiving meal can be had if some basic food safety rules are followed. USDA Acting Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety Carmen Rottenberg says thawing a turkey on the kitchen counter is a no-no.
If you have a frozen turkey and you forgot to get that turkey into the refrigerator, it's okay. You can cook the turkey from a frozen state or even from a partially frozen state. It will just take 50% longer. The key is do not thaw your turkey on the countertop because dangerous bacteria can grow on the outside while the inside is still cold.
Safety concerns heightened this year by an ongoing outbreak of salmonella in raw turkey products, which prompted last week's recall of more than 90,000 pounds of ground turkey products. Thanksgiving travelers got some help from favorable weather in most of the country on Tuesday, but flight delays did pile up near the end of the day at airports. AAA's Tamara Johnson says some of the most popular destinations involve warmer weather.
Orlando, Florida, New York, and Anaheim, California all round out the top three, but also warm weather destinations like the Dominican Republic, Cancun, Mexico, Honolulu, Hawaii, as well as Miami, Florida, are all also on the top 10.
The AAA Auto Club predicts that 54.3 million Americans will travel at least 50 miles from home between today and Sunday. That's the highest number since 2005, and about a 5% increase over last year. Some 48 million will drive to their destinations. About 4.7 million will take to the skies. On Wall Street, an hour from the close of Dow, up 156 points. More from townhall.com.
On the north side, you're seeing some minor delays because of a crash on I-95 northbound at the exit at Pecan Park Road. Be careful there. Also an accident in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound. It's near Racetrack Road. Doesn't appear to be in the travel lanes. And congestion on the east beltway, 295 northbound and southbound around Bay Meadows Road. A few clouds this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and cool, low 46. Thanksgiving Day will start out partly sunny, high 67.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Mary, did you know? Who is that singing that, Doug?
Pentatonix, man. The man, great what? I Am. He is
one of my
great
favorite songs.
I Am. Man.
I was going to pull up the lyrics of that song because they're so good. They really kind of give you just a glimpse. I think so often at Christmas time, we tend to sing songs because they're tradition. And we don't spend a lot of time reflecting on the words. What is exactly being said?
Well, you know, for a lot of us here in America. I was having a conversation this past weekend in Pittsburgh with one of the leaders up there about the covenant God we serve. We don't really understand covenant that well. Because we don't, you know, for us, covenant doesn't have a lot of meaning in our culture. We do contracts. But for them in that culture, they made a covenant, and it was a blood covenant most of the time. They would do a covenant that if they did a blood covenant and you violated that, you were saying that my life in exchange for breaking this covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God did back in Genesis with Abraham. He said, listen, you know, it says he was terrified when God told him the animals to get and lay out for the blood covenant.
I was going to say, if our listeners aren't familiar with how they did those covenants, that's worth reading.
Oh, it's
gruesome.
It absolutely is. And Abraham was terrified because if he violated it, it means his life was in God's hands as a sacrifice.
Mm.
And God says, no, Abraham, I'm going to go through. And so the smoking pot went through, which was him going through it, and his son actually was the sacrifice for us breaking it.
Laid out, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's really, I love listening to that song, Mary, Did You Know, because it lays out in there what he does and that he's the great I Am.
Yeah,
and
just the first stanza, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Your baby boy has come to make you new and will soon deliver you. That's just the first stanza.
Well, you know, and you know, I was talking, one of my daughters the other day said, I don't like that, because of course she knew. Well, I don't know that Mary knew that Jesus was special.
I don't think she knew the extent.
She didn't know the extent, just like Peter did. When Peter said, you are the Christ, he knew there was a component of Jesus being holy and sent from God, but he didn't know he was God.
Well, Doug, this goes to the point that when we are in the process of making disciples, that we're not pointing people to a pastor.
No.
We're pointing people to God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about what you're thankful for. I'm incredibly thankful that we have the gift of the scriptures.
Oh my, yeah.
That because of that gift, the scriptures that were preserved, that we can know God.
And you know, growing up, Brad, I had a fascination with scriptures, and like I can remember laying on my bed in my parents' home reading about Samson and David. I like the military stuff.
Sure.
I was drawn to that. And God eventually used that. I got in the military and then I got in law enforcement. But I did. My dad got up in the morning and he read the scriptures, and we went to church, and the scriptures were emphasized to me. But I didn't really value them then the way I should. And really, to be honest with you, until I started reading more heavily about 7 to 8 years ago, even being in ministry for 16 years, until I started reading 9 to 10 chapters a day and realizing how I'd been snacking on God's word instead of really thirsting for God's word, I didn't appreciate it. But boy, I'll tell you, and it's not that you and I worship the print on the page.
No.
We don't make this an idol like some people allege, but this is God's revelation to us. And the Israelite people, Brad, you remember when I was teaching in Chorazin and we went into that little synagogue?
Mm-hmm.
When they would open up the scriptures, the people would literally start dancing. They were so excited.
Mm.
And you know, I've actually heard people make the statement, oh gosh, I hope he doesn't read a long passage today, you know, in church, you know, because they want to hear a story.
Yeah.
And they want to be entertained, to go back to what my dad's saying, instead of actually hearing what God says to us in his word about how we relate to him and the great revelation of his son to us.
Mm.
I mean, that's, I'm agreement. I'm very thankful for the scriptures.
Well, just that we can know God. We can, I mean, we've talked about it. We've had guests on here who, you know, we haven't even plumbed the depths. You've been in the Word. You guys have been walking with the Lord for 60 plus years probably. And the fact you still haven't plumbed the depths of the scriptures.
Are you still learning, Mom and Dad? You still learning stuff?
Every time you read the Bible, you get different opinions.
Isn't that good? In fact, I'm going to teach next week for one of our SWAT guys at his church. And I've been wrestling with, because I never like it when a pastor says, just preach anything you want. I mean, you know, yeah. From the scriptures. But it's kind of like, I'd rather you just tell me what you want
just
me to preach.
Just give me a passage and let me work on it.
Exactly. But I'm going to actually preach out of James 1. And interestingly enough, Doug, the very first lesson I ever taught as a Christian was to a young married class that I was a member of that class 30 years ago.
Mm.
And I taught out of James 1.
Mm.
And that still is, it is right, it's forefront on my mind. I still know that passage so well. And I could teach it, no problem. But I'm excited about getting back into it and reading it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've probably taught it, you know, half a dozen times over the years.
Well, I love teaching his word. And, you know, as we've been teaching through Matthew, you know, a lot of people may tune in and hear this teaching on marriage and go, well, you know, they don't follow quite well. But this is part of an unfolding that Matthew's teaching on, and he talked about forgiveness. He gave the parable on forgiveness. It says that if you've been forgiven much, you go forgive.
Hmm.
And then he goes into the divorce thing because the Pharisees ask him, hey, can you divorce for any reason? Is it true? Because there was a debate with Hillel and Shammai, two of the leading influential rabbis in their thought, and Hillel said you could divorce for even if you burn the breakfast, Mom. You could divorce somebody for burning the breakfast. Shammai said you could only divorce for adultery. So they had this argument going on. They tried to draw Jesus in because they wanted Jesus to either be unpopular with the crowd or executed by Herod, because Herod was in an unlawful marriage. And so they wanted one of those two things to happen. But Jesus said, have you not read? And then he takes them back to Genesis chapter 1.
It goes to what we're talking about, is that we have his word that we can go back and look at.
Yeah, and Jesus says, have you not read? In other words, he takes them back because that's supposed to be very important to them, right?
Right.
And in that passage, it says, in the beginning, he made them male and female. God designed marriage for one man and one woman. They were to be together in marriage. But we saw that marriage is difficult because it was corrupted when sin entered the world. And part of the curse was the woman would have a desire to rule over the man. The man would have a desire to suppress the woman in every way to keep her from wanting to rule. So you have this tension going on. But God says to the man, you have to stick to your wife like glue in a relational loyalty.
You got to leave. First.
Leave your parents
and cleave.
And cleave to your
mm-hmm.
wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, he says that when you come together, you're one flesh, an inseparable union, and you're no longer two but one. And then in the last part of verse 6, he says, what God has joined, man can't separate. In other words, it's a divine work when God brings you together. And divorce was just incompatible. And so, you know, I don't think I've ever asked you guys this. I've never thought about it with you guys, but you've been married 63 years. Did you ever think about divorce?
Never.
Never?
It never even entered your mind?
We had one real disagreement.
Mom says you said one disagreement, but did you think about divorce then?
No.
No. Why? Why didn't you think about it?
Because we got it all straightened out.
Well, go ahead and tell them what it was. I left standing on the street corner one night.
Uh-oh.
Me and my best friend that was in our wedding waiting on Daddy to come get us, and they were having a party where he worked.
And you got mad?
And they just was there a little longer, and I thought...
That's the one argument you've had in 63 years.
She said that's the only real argument they've had. I think it's interesting that she brought that out, because certainly there were other arguments.
Now, when did that happen? How long ago was that? How old were you?
Right after we married.
So you're talking about 60 years ago. Oh, my goodness. Wow. But see, Brad, the thing is, I know Lori and I have talked about this too. Divorce was never in our vocabulary.
Yeah.
But so many people today in the church, it is there. If it's an escape hatch, an escape chute, you know, and I think that's the Pharisees said, can you divorce for any reason? It was, they were thinking about it. And what Jesus is saying, it's not been this way. You're supposed to be together for life.
Yeah. Well, it was culturally unacceptable as well. But it was culturally unacceptable because God was so much a part of the culture.
Yeah.
Even 60 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that's God's view of marriage. He wants it to be permanent and sacred.
Hey, one more segment. Yeah. Glad you've joined us today. If you want to call, 904-401-1413. We'd love to hear what you're thankful for.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Welcome back to SWAT.
Isn't that beautiful,
I wanted
man?
To just come out with some deep voice.
I know.
So good.
Isn't that a great song?
Man, what a beautiful song. Hey, real quick, it's our last segment, and I want to give our listeners an opportunity to call in 904-401-1413. We'd love for you to call in.
What are you
tell
thankful
us,
for?
What are you thankful for? And Doug, you know, great having James and Aileen McCary, your parents here. Been married 63 years, and since we're talking about, you know, marriage and divorce, it's great to have them here with us today.
Yeah, they have been. I can honestly, I never remember that ever being something that was ever talked about or an issue. And you know, the Pharisees, when they came up to Jesus, they came up with an understanding that there was an out. But Jesus said, no, this was never part of God's design. In fact, they even twisted it. We're going to look at, after I get back from Israel, about divorce. And this is to say, listen, if you're listening and you've been divorced or you've gone through a divorce, it's not the unpardonable sin. There's grace. There's mercy from God. But his design has always been for the permanence, the sacredness of marriage. It is a covenant with God, and it's the base cell of the faith community, is a husband and a wife reproducing a faith community that will continue to reproduce. And it was a word picture. In the Old Testament, God was the husband, Israel was the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And in the New Testament, Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a picture. And, you know, I'm just so grateful, Mom and Dad, that y'all have modeled that, and that you've had this love for one another. And y'all have been good. You know, we studied Brad the other night. My parents and I and our family watched this video about the Beth Ob, which is the house of the father. And in that culture, you know, a lot of people today see a patriarchal family as a negative thing. But in that culture, and in most cultures, the father taking care of everything is a good thing. The people are excited. He makes sure when somebody gets marginalized in the family, the father's there to come take care of them. He's there to come provide for them. And my dad has been great at doing that over the years. He's always and still continues to be an encourager and a supporter, and always wanting to know if I've got a flat tire, he wants to know where he can take it to get it fixed for me. You know, he's always slipping money in my hand when I'm leaving, even though I'm 57 years old. I mean, he's always been good about that. And that's a picture of God the Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He's always up there. Even when we're in a bad time, he wants us to turn to him, to trust him. And so
I would also just say, and you kind of did that, you know, when I look at folks like your parents that have made a commitment for as long as you have, you know, whether it's, I mean, we were talking about the vows you probably took when you guys got married, for better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness and health. Well, those vows are in there because those are going to be realities in your life as a married family, as a married couple, right? And so I think it's like when my wife and I do a fair amount of marriage counseling. And we always sit and go, did you do vows? Did y'all have vows in your wedding? They all, yeah, we had vows. I go, can you remember them? Yes, I can remember them. For better, for worse, riches, you know, all those things. I said, did you ever think that those might be a reality? The reality is when you guys stay together and you stick together, when you cling to one another, it's a testimony, as you said, Doug, it's a picture of Christ and the fact that he didn't abandon us, you know, his bride. Aren't you thankful for that on this Thanksgiving Eve?
Yes, I am. I'm very thankful. I'm laughing because Roger Henderson, who's normally in here, if he's still listening, I want him to come down here. He just sent me a little video of a golfer taking a swing and falling in the water.
Roger.
It was that kind of a day, Roger. It really was. But hey, Mom,
he needs to come down and give us the voice of Jacksonville.
Scoot up to the mic here, Mom. I want to ask you. So if there's a young lady out there who's married, who's struggling because it's hard, because you've gone through some very difficult times, both with you've been a cancer survivor, you've helped take care of family members who are very, very ill, and you have been one of the most serving people I've ever met in my entire life. What would you say to the young woman in a marriage who's struggling out there about sticking to it? I mean, is there anything you could say to encourage her, or anything that you would say looking back in your life? Because I know you've worked through some hard times of life.
Well, you just always have to pray and take it to the Lord and know that he's the only one that can help you. And just don't give up. Just keep on working to make things work out between you. Don't leave each other.
Yeah, just do what you can.
Yes,
and trust the Lord.
And the Lord will be with you in whatever you do.
He's been with you for a long time, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. And I thank him. Yeah. And I've had a lot of surgeries and things like that, but I'm praise the Lord, I'm still walking and loving the Lord.
You are. You've been a faithful witness. Dad, what about you? Anything you'd say to some young guys? I mean, if some young guy, what's you've been a great father in the sense you've taken care of me and David and overseen us and always been there, and always, you know, you've cared for Mom. I remember writing you a letter. I don't know if you still remember it. I think it was about 10 or 12 years ago.
I think I still got
And I wrote it because I was sitting around, and I can remember you making us work in the summer and work in a garden, but it wasn't a garden. It felt like a farm. It was so long, those rows. And you made us get out and plant seeds and pick up weeds and do all that stuff. And you taught us a good work ethic. And I've been told by several people, when I'm both in the Marine Corps, FBI, and even early in ministry, that I had a good work ethic. And I can attribute that a lot to the way God used you in my life to do that. What would you say to the young man who just got married out there? What do you think is really important as he goes forward taking care of his wife and family?
Listen to what she has to say.
Oh, that's well, she's right. A compliment, because God gave her as a compliment, and we've talked about that. So,
Doug, we know folks that parents, man and wife, they got two bank accounts. Why don't they have the same checking account?
Well, because they have a separate, a lot of times people have separate lives even. And I'm not saying if they have a separate bank account, they don't. It's a way of control in I guess in that. But like with Lori and me, we've always just seen what's mine is hers, what's hers is mine. And that's the way you guys have modeled for me and Lori in that way.
I think about the two, just the counsel right there. Okay, your dad said, listen to your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ephesians 5 talks about that. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. In other words, don't just hear her, listen to her.
They're a compliment. Shema her, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And your mother says, stick to it.
Yeah.
Listen, it's not going to be easy. If my wife were sitting right here, in fact, she's probably listening. She would testify to the fact that 33 years, it hadn't been easy.
So you're almost half, you're
that's
a little
right.
over half of
exactly.
where they are.
You know, she would say it hadn't been easy, but what a joy, you know, over the years as we have, you know, we were talking earlier about our love for God's word.
Yeah.
In the same way, our love for our spouse gets deeper and deeper and deeper the longer you're with that person.
Yeah.
But it takes work, right? I mean, you guys, it took work, you know?
Well, it did. It took a lot of work. And, you know, I just, I think that one of the biggest things that I see in them is a love for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
a love for his word. They mm-hmm. still read his Bible every day. You know, I know a lot of people when they get older, they just don't make time for it. They still are very actively engaged in reading the word, wanting to grow. 85 and 82.
Well, I mean, when you say that, Doug, I think of my parents. My mother passed away 5 years ago, and for the last 4 years of her life, she couldn't speak. And my dad, every morning, would read the scriptures to her, you know. And I remember as a kid, you know, and I say a kid, in my late teens, early 20s, when I would come home to be with my parents, they would always, every morning, get in the Word.
Yeah.
And just the value. I mean, you don't have to teach your wife. You don't have to lay out some great, you know, theological lesson. Just get in the Word and read it together.
Yeah.
I think Vicki would say the same thing, Doug, as we do that every morning together. We memorize scripture together. We read the Word together. And just that simple discipline is so rich and just such a good time. So,
well, listen, hey. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening, and pray for me and the group. We'll be in Israel leaving Friday, and you know, Brad, I hope you and your family have a happy Thanksgiving. Any closing words, Mom?
Just stay in the Word of God. I just got through reading my Bible 20 times all the way through.
I'm praying. Stay in the Word. Dad, any closing thoughts?
Well, if you read your Bible every day, I believe you'll have a better day.
Oh, there you go.
He does.
How about that?
Yeah. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for joining us today. Brad, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I hope you have a great one, and we'll be back in a week and a half.
Well, safe travels over to Israel.
Yeah. Hey, but if you're listening, stay tuned for tomorrow. We have Mike Fabaris tomorrow for Thanksgiving. And then Adam Donier and a lot of good people
some
on
good
Marriage
guess.
And Family.
Ted good
Cunningham
guess.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I'll see you, Doug, in a week and
see
a half.
See you in a week and a half.
All right.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAY.